Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Now Thank We All Our God.
Our first half of the reading is Psalm 40, found in the Pew Bible, page 446. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined me, and he heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord, my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, Here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips. As you know, O Lord, I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I've spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation.
We're going to continue in Psalm 40, picking up then at the 11th verse. And the tenor, the tone of this psalm changes completely. The portion of the psalm that Eric just read for us is a song of thanksgiving. And now the psalmist turns to a song of lament. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. For evils have encompassed me without number. My iniquities have overtaken me until I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let all those be put to shame and confusion who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, Aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, Great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. And let us pray. Lord, may this be our prayer as well. And now as we turn to the hearing of the proclamation of your word, we would pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might find acceptance in your sight. For it is through Christ and Christ alone we pray it, to his honor and glory. Amen. If you have a really good memory, you may recall that I told you a story once about a woman who sat on the couch and simply sobbed as she poured out her life story, a story filled with an endless litany of shattered dreams and broken promises. She told of an abusive childhood, of broken marriages, of estranged relationships that had plagued her throughout life. And I recall thinking, I'm sure glad I'm not her counselor, as Dr. Phil sat in silence. It was almost as if he had nothing to say to her. And what could he say, really? It is difficult to repair a lifetime's worth of hurts and broken promises and betrayals in 30-second sound bites that are as much intended for a listening audience as they are for the one sitting in front of him. So finally, he asked her this seemingly ill-spoken, somewhat startling question. So what do you have to be thankful for? Now, that's the question that has come to us this week as a nation, as families, as individuals. What do we have to be thankful for? Is Thanksgiving simply a day on the calendar, a day off of work, a day to be spent with family and friends, eating good food and watching football? Or is it a daily expression of your life and mine? How often do you and I pause simply to reflect and consider in any intentional way, what do I really have to be thankful for? For many of us, Thanksgiving, and by that I mean the giving of thanks, comes relatively easily. We are, by and large, a people richly blessed in all of the measurables of life. And it's easy for us, or at least it should be easy for us, in times of plenty and abundance to give thanks for all that we enjoy. But in our times of plenty, we would do well also not only to be mindful of those who don't enjoy those benefits, but also to consider for ourselves, would we still be grateful if our circumstances were to change? I mean, what if you reduced some of your measurables by 5%, by 10%, by 50%? Would we no longer be a grateful people, or would we be a proportionately less grateful people than we are now? There is a sign outside of Travelers Rest Missionary Baptist Church over on Boulevard, so right across from Crown Hill. The sign on the outside of the church, I just love it. It says, "We don't need more to be thankful for. We need to be more thankful. Are we thankful only because we have all that we need, and probably far more than we need? Or does our gratitude arise out of something deeper, something more meaningful and lasting than those things which surely will go the way of rust and dust and moth?" In our scripture lesson today, the psalmist pours out his heart to God, asking for a fair hearing and for deliverance from a very present help in trouble. However, if we look carefully at this text, the psalmist really does something very interesting. He's clearly in a state of difficulty. He's in a world of hurt. But he doesn't begin by listing his litany of woes. Rather, he begins by remembering another time, an earlier time, a time when he was forced to wait patiently for the Lord, a time that he felt abandoned in a desolate pit, up to his chin in a miry bog. And then he remembers with great joy how the Lord inclined his ear and heard my cry, how he lifted me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, how he set my feet upon the rock, making my steps secure, how he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. The psalmist then seems to burst into song, inviting the congregation to sing along with him. Many will see and many will fear and many will put their trust in the Lord. What is so curious about this particular psalm and is so typical or indicative of many of the psalms of lament is that even though the psalmist is in desperate need of help in the present, he begins by remembering another time, reflecting upon God's saving action in the past. His cry for help begins with a song of thanksgiving, a reminder of how God has heard and answered his prayers in days past, which then becomes the basis for his hope and his confidence that God will answer again in the present and in the future. It's almost as if Dr. Phil is sitting with him and asks the psalmist, "So what do you have to be thankful for? I know you're up to your ears in troubles, but what is it that you can give thanks for?" And the psalmist is ready with an answer. "Oh, I have so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful for the steadfast love of God, for the mercies he's poured into my lives, for all the ways he's helped me in days past. I'm so thankful for this congregation who will listen to my story of concern and woe, how they share their own stories of how God has spoken into their lives and answered. I am so thankful for this gathering. I'm thankful even for these present circumstances because they give me an opportunity to witness once again that God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in times of trouble." Now, the psalmist is in no way minimizing his troubles, the difficulty of his present circumstances, the depth of his need, but neither is he focusing on them. Rather, his eyes are set on the one who promises to hear him, to redeem him, to save him, and set him free. So he sees his problems, real and threatening as they are, as yet another opportunity for God to be his provider. And he gives thanks for that. Last Sunday evening, I had the privilege of sharing a meal with many of the leaders and supporters of the Emoja Project. This ministry we're involved in Western Kenya, providing for the needs of orphans and vulnerables. I traveled to Kenya in 2012 and came home with a head full and a heart full of stories, but one in particular stands out. We visited the home, and by that I mean a hut, where a young orphan lived with his sister and a 78-year-old woman he called grandmother, although likely she wasn't that at all. We asked them if they had had dinner the night before. They said, no, we've only had dinner 3 times in the past week. I asked, will you have dinner tonight? And the woman said, only if God provides. And God did provide through gifts of food that we brought that day. But what was most remarkable to me was that as we were leaving this hut, this woman came after us and handed me a bag of peanuts. Peanuts they had grown, peanuts out of their meager provisions, and offered them to us as a gift of appreciation. Despite her scarcity, she was providing a gift of thanksgiving. One of the great values whenever we travel into international places, whenever we encounter a people who are in a different economic circumstance than we discover that true happiness, true contentment, true gratitude does not come with the accumulation of stuff. Of course, we can never glamorize poverty. That's not our intention at all. But there is some spiritual truth to the words of Corrie ten Boom when she writes, "You'll never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you've got." If we were to ask any of those people, what do you have to be thankful for? We should be prepared because they will respond with a litany of praise and thanksgiving. I remember another woman we met on that trip. She literally had a hut, a cow, and a chicken. Those were her entire possessions. And yet, as she stood with chicken in arm, she said with a big smile, "And as you can see, we are doing very well." I wondered, really, would I have considered that? But she was looking not at her scarcity, but at her abundance. True gratitude has far less to do with what we have and far more to do with our attitude towards those things. True gratitude has far less to do with what's happening around us and far more to do with what's happening within us. At the close of our service this morning, we will sing the beautiful Thanksgiving hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God." It would be relatively easy to imagine the time of plenty and provision in which this hymn was written, but just the opposite is true. Martin Rinkert, the author of this hymn, was a Lutheran minister in Eilenburg, Saxony, that is Germany, during the 30 Years' War in the middle of the 17th century. During those years, this walled city of Eilenburg became a refuge for many who were fleeing from the tragedies of war, so came to the gates of Eilenburg seeking safety and protection, until the Swedish army finally surrounded the city, cutting it off entirely from any of its supplies. Well, very quickly, famine and disease ran rampant. Homes were destroyed. People were perishing by the thousands, which put, of course, a terrible strain on anyone who was trying to care or make provision, including pastors. As the siege of the city continued, the plague worsened. Pastors themselves succumbed, leaving only Martin Rinkert. In 1637 alone, and consider this, he conducted the funeral services of nearly 4,500 of his fellow citizens, including his own wife. During those terrible years, the population of Germany fell from 16 million to 6 million. So as the captivity of Eilenberg continued, the Swedes demanded a huge ransom for its release, far too great for any city to pay. And so, recognizing their desperate condition, Pastor Rinkert left the relative safety of the walled city of Eilenberg and went to meet with the Swedish commander, asking for mercy. The commander was so impressed, so inspired by his faith and courage, he lowered his demands, and soon afterwards, the 30 Years' War ended, and Rinkert wrote this hymn for a grand service of celebration and worship. Why? What did they have to be thankful for? Given all that they had been through, why were they singing praise? Given that context, listen again to his now famous words. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Oh, may this wondrous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God whom heaven and earth adore. For thus it was, is now, and will be evermore. Friends, our response to life has less to do with what's happening around us than it does to what is happening within us. The woman stared blankly back at Dr. Phil. She had just finished telling her sad story of a broken life, and his question to her seemed to be totally out of place and unfounded. What did she have to be thankful for? Hadn't he been listening to her? She clearly had said she had nothing to be thankful for, and so he gave her this assignment. He said, I want you to write down 100 things you're thankful for today, and then tomorrow I want you to write down another 100 things you're thankful for, and they need to be different than the things you wrote down today. And the day after that, I want you to write down 100 more things you're thankful for. What that counselor was doing was retraining that woman's focus. Was she focusing on her haves or her have-nots? Was she looking through a lens of abundance or of scarcity? Was she focused only on her problems, or could she somehow see God's provision? In Psalm 40, twice we read the psalmist had things that were too great for him to number. And he begins by counting his blessings. Verse 5. Were I to proclaim and tell of God's wondrous deeds, they would be more than can be counted. But also, soon numerous were the problems which confronted him, which he cites in verse 12. For evils have encompassed me without number. My iniquities have overtaken me until I cannot see. They are more than the hairs on my head, and my heart fails me. But what did he choose to focus on? His needs? Or God's provision? God's provision, continually. So today I'm offering you an opportunity, as the old hymn goes, to count your blessings, name them one by one. In your order of worship, you'll see a half page, Now Thank We All Our God, listed 1 to 100. And I'll encourage you today, as an act of thanksgiving and as an exercise, to consider your own answer to the question, what am I thankful for? I used this example and this exercise a good number of years ago, but I thought it worth repeating because this is more than pop psychology. However, just recently, a couple of weeks ago, one of you gave me an article from the Massachusetts General Hospital Newsletter, August 2016, citing a study that found, and I quote, participants who devoted just 20 minutes per week for 3 weeks to write about positive aspects of their lives experienced strengthening of activity in specific brain regions and heightened feelings of gratitude as much as 3 months later. Focusing on things for which you are grateful counteracts depression and anxiety, lowers chronic stress, promotes feelings of love and mutual interdependence with others, helps you cope with adversity, and is linked to greater feelings of life satisfaction and well-being. Might it be that gratitude just could be an antidote for much of what ails us? Regardless of our circumstances, whatever they may be, we of all people have much to be thankful for. And perhaps we of all people are most thankful because we know to whom to say thank you. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, now and always. Amen. And let us pray. We give you thanks, O Lord. And if thank you is the only prayer we ever learn in life, that would be sufficient. Lord, hear our prayers of praise and thanksgiving. We offer them now in Jesus' name, to his honor and glory. Hear our prayer.